त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. And reminder, each class we chant the first verse. You can always be prepared for that. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik, tadrishyam drik tu manasam, drishyadhi vritayas sakshi, drigevanatu drishyate. So he said that's the sangraha vakyam, the root, the like a sutra, everything else built on that. Everything else is, if we get this one, then it touches on the main theme of what he's discussing. That in the end, the base, what we're looking for is the sakshi, the witnessing consciousness. And these other things are also instruments for experience, for observation. But the problem is the instrument confused with the one behind it. That's the whole problem, which he's starting to get into now, the anatomy of that. We look into the anatomy of the body in science, but here looks into a different type of anatomy, more important anatomy, how the structure of the jiva, anatomy of jiva. Anatomy, physiology, jiva, more important for Vedanti than the anatomy of the physical body like this. So last week, we discussed a little bit about sakshi, about the witnessing consciousness. And it said, like the sun, it is the one that illumines everything without being dependent on something else to illumine it. That everything else, in order to be visible, to be tangible, needs something to make it tangible. So we see things because of the light in the sun, in the light of the sun. So in this way, similar to the sun, that it's self-luminous, and that you don't need something to illuminate like this. But the sun itself also is not really completely self-luminous because it's still dependent. It's very dependent. Some of its friends are saying, oh, you're a very young sun, you know. When we were already in our college days, you weren't born yet. And also, some of the other stars are saying, you're a very old one. Look, in 3 billion years, you're going to be history, and we're just going to be in our prime then. So it also is something that is dependent on something. So the Atma itself, Swayam Prakasha, self-luminous and independent. Everything else depends on. It's so much so that as we go deeper in the study, it says that actually the other one is dependent on this. Look, your dream characters and everything dependent on your mind, dependent on your awareness. They're not independent of it. So in the end, the drisham will be dependent on the drik. He didn't get into this now. Towards the end, later he'll get into. But that's something that also, that self-luminous means not dependent. Meaning something dependent has to be mithya. Mithya has a barred existence, dependent existence. So it's not really, you know. It's kind of like the clay elephant is dependent on the clay. The nama rupa, the name and form, is just something temporary. The clay is there. So same thing. I'm aware of everything, so it's awareness. Everything else really dependent on this. We'll get more into that later. So not to worry yet, because we haven't really discussed that specific point, subtle point much like this. So this is one thing he said, and then he brought up this thing in verse 6. Chichaya veshato buddhau bhanam dhistu dvidhastita ekaham kritiranyasyat antahkarana rupini. This is where we reached last time we were discussing this. The intellect appears to possess luminosity on account of the reflection of consciousness in it. The intellect is twofold. One is the aspect of egoity or doership. The other is the inner instrument, antakarana. So now he's talking about how this jiva comes into being. What is this jiva? What is the individual? This is what he's discussing. And last time we introduced these terms, which very much help to illustrate it. We said there's OC. This again, these are terms that were coined by Swami Chinmayananda, as far as I know, which give a very nice explanation for it, that we can just do it in our language in English like this. So OC, original consciousness, that's Atma, that's Sakshi, right? Just the consciousness itself, Brahman. Then we said there's RM, which is the reflecting media, right? Because just like the example that we have is you have the sun and it reflects in the mirror, so you need something for it to reflect in. Then in the mirror you have the reflection of the sun, so reflected consciousness, RC. So these three are very useful for this. Here, of course, we have the Sakshi, or Chaitanyam consciousness. We have the Buddhi, the intellect. We have then the reflected consciousness, which is the individual, Ahankara here he's saying, the individual, the jiva. So what happens then is if you take the example of the sun in the mirror, you have the sun reflect in the mirror and the reflection in the mirror. The reflection in the mirror has a lot of the attributes of the sun itself. Because let's say that I've closed the room and I close the shutters. You know, you can't see well, but there's some gap there. Somebody puts a mirror and reflects the sunlight into the room. You can get light into the room from the reflection of the sun. You can do this. So you can illuminate with it. So it has the luminosity that the sun has. It has the form that the sun has. It's not something totally, you know, different like this. But it's not the original one. It's dependent now. It's dependent, of course, on the medium. I can have an old mirror that's kind of warped and where some of the, you know, some of the old ones both get warped, and some of the material on the back kind of got old and so it doesn't reflect as well. So you don't have a good reflection, or you can have a very clear, nice, clear reflection. So it really depends in this way on the medium, like this. So, and also when you have medium, you can have many of them. That's why many jivas, many reflections like this, reflects in all the different ones. So here then, there can be many. One can reflect in many different things like this. This is what he's pointing out in here. Now what happens though is an interesting thing then is the reflection in the mirror, that doesn't have the same reality as right here. It's just a reflection and it gets skewed according to the medium. So you can go in some of these fairs, I don't know if they have nowadays, but it's something that at least they used to be more common. Now people don't, you know, now people have so many other entertainment things that they, you know, that they do, but that they're more of a convex mirror, concave mirror. So suddenly looking very fat, you're looking very tall. Maybe they'll make you look like a, you know, zigzag or all these kind of things because of the different way the mirror is. So the reflection gets skewed and it's according to how the material is there. So that's how this is going to be skewed. And also it doesn't have the same substance. There's no substance to it, right? It's dependent on the original one. It's not something independent. When you look in the mirror and you lift your hand, you make a face. That one, it doesn't have freedom. That one is just reflecting you. It's not, And again, if it's twisted, it'll make maybe the mirror makes you look very strange, like a big frown, or you're really smiling because of the way the mirror is, like this. So the character, the reflected character, doesn't have the same, you can say, the same level of reality as the original one here, because that one is the substantial sun. The one there doesn't have a substance. It's just, you know, some sort of image of it, like this. So they have different levels of reality, like this. So in this way, this is what happens. Now, the issue here, when we look into this, is, okay, so the jiva then somehow is going to have a mixture of consciousness, atma, and anatma, somehow the two. The reason we're going to say this, and this is where our problems are, is because consciousness itself, the sakshi, can it have any problems? The sakshi got up with a headache today. Can it have a problem? You know, it's kind of like here today it's cloudy. The sun isn't affected by that. The sun isn't affected by the earth, by the moods of the earth, right? The sun just shines. The earth today, clear sky, oh, so nice, I'm feeling so good. And then the next day it's windy and gloomy, oh, now I feel very bad. The sun isn't affected by this. So the sakshi doesn't have any issue, any problem. It can't, just the pure awareness. Now, just the reflecting medium, the mind, it's jadam. If you remember, anything that is made out of material, it's going to be inert, right? The mirror is inert. I'm a conscious being, and then I'm reflecting the mirror. Anything that happens that when the mirror, you makes the mirror gets cracked or broken or this, does the reflection there say, ow, you know, that hurt? Nothing happens to it. So the mind itself is also material, it's inert. So anatma also cannot have any problem, right? Does your house have a problem if it leaks? No. I have a problem because I live in it, but the house has no problem. It's just material, right? No big deal. So who has the problem? Nobody, really. That's the issue in the end. There is no problem. Our confusion caused the problem. So what happens, it has to have a mixture of the two. As if you remember, we said, the anyonya adhyasa, the superimposition, both directions. We take me as a limited being, my mind, my body, too. We give it properties of consciousness. And we give the consciousness properties of my limitation. We get that confusion. And then I think I, the conscious being, am all limited. And I think this body is conscious, but, you know, what's going to happen to it? It's getting older and it's not feeling as well. Or this mind is a little disturbed. It's not as clear as it was before, or not as sharp as it was before. What's going to happen to it? And I think I'm that mind. So that's the problem. The samsari is the confusion of the two. When they're straightened out, you see there is no issue to begin with. That's what happens, is we're trying to solve all of our problems in this level of reality. But you can never totally solve them. You can never put all the ducks in one row. That's how they say, right? You can never get your ducks in one row. Whatever you do, some of them, new ducks are running here or there. It's impossible. Just try and, you know, we stay frustrated with it. So the problem is not putting them all in a row. You do it because your duty to keep things in order. But that's not what's going to solve the problem. Once you sort this out, you see there isn't the problem to begin with. That's what Vedanta does, very interestingly. So, now what happens then is, so as mentioned just a little while ago, there are two different levels of reality, you say, right? The original consciousness and the reflected consciousness is not the same level of reality. So what happens is the original consciousness, this is actually called Paramarthika Sat. Right. Oops, that's not a P, that's a pa. We wanted a P here. Para mar Tika.
Gajanamji, we cannot see the full board, sorry. This part we cannot.
It's okay, visible. Paramartika Sat. Okay, Paramartika Sat. It's long, so it would have fallen off the edge of the board like I did in other classes. Paramartika. Okay, so Paramartika, original consciousness. This is the you know, supreme reality. This is the reality, the absolute reality. Absolute reality is good translation for this. That's what the original consciousness is. Again, because original consciousness, OC, much easier for us to remember. But if you want the original terms used, then Paramartika Sat is used. Satyam, you can say, just Satyam. But in order to differentiate, Paramartika Sat is what's used in usually in terms in Vedanta. Then what is the reflection? The interesting thing with the reflection is, right here, here I have a glass of water, right? I drink it. We all have the same experience drinking water. If I pour it, it, you know, accidentally spilled, I get wet. We all have the same experience. So there's some common experience together. It's not just some vacuum that it's just random. I pour it, it goes up. I don't get wet. You pour it, you get wet, it goes down. It's not like this. There's something common. So there's some common experience here too. This is called Vyavaharika. The reflection here we'll call Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika. Sat. Oops. My English and Sanskrit letters getting confused because I'm writing in the two. So Vya. It's fitting in the screen, yeah. Vya. Vaharika. This is actually transactional reality. That's really what it means. But it, or this is our objective reality. Because we have some objective reality here. We all, you know, and we accept that there is some common objective reality. Otherwise, how would the court work? It works because people come and they say, yes, I was there and I saw this, and they can verify by some information. So there is some transactional reality here. Transaction, everything is transactions. Things are coming outside, I'm seeing, and I'm eating, and then I'm talking, and I'm doing. So there's some interaction of things. So that's why Vyavaharika, there's an interaction of everything going on. So this will be the jiva here, the individual. I'm working this Vyavaharika, Sat, this world here, which is the transactional world. It's not direct translation, reflected conscious, but it's where the idea comes from. This objective world. This is the absolute existence. This is the objective existence that we have here, that we're experiencing here like this. So this one depends on reflection. It's in the reflections, like in the mirror, you can say. Now here's what happens then is the original consciousness, it's reflected. So you can only experience what's in the reflection, not the original, because you're the one behind it. For example, I have a face, right? I never see my own face. I only see it in the mirror or here. I can see it on the screen but it's a reflection of it. The original one I can't see. All my experiences of vision through eyesight of the face are through reflection only. I don't have a doubt it's there, right? I use it to see, you know, okay, there's something in my face. I have to clean it off for this, right? Something in my eye, I'll go look and get it out. So in this way, it's useful, but I can't see it directly, and I never can. I can't experience it directly like this. I'm talking about vision, like this, vision. So what happens then, same way yourself, you can't ever see direct experience. It'll never become the drishyam. It's always just drik. It can't be. Always drashta. Drashta, drik, same thing. Drashta, right? Ru ending, masculine for a Sanskrit paper. Drashtru becomes drashta. Again, as people that aren't studying Sanskrit, you don't have to worry about. You're free. You have Sanskrit moksha. Those who are studying can understand some, but don't worry about it. So drashta. So like this. So that's why I want to experience. I want to know myself, but you can't know it like you know an object. You are that. No, That's the thing. So this is one thing just to be aware of. The experience always will need a medium. You can't experience without a medium. There needs something. Because you have to feel, you have to see, you have to touch, you have to think, right? You can't. You can't without some medium, without some medium. That's why I myself, you won't experience like that. You just are that, no problem, like this. So in any case, second half of this verse, which we haven't touched on yet, this is just talking about this way that it is. Oh, and one, before I go on, the one thing that I also mentioned last time, which is very important, is all of these are explaining this, but to explain something, you give examples. An example is never the original thing, not possible, right? Because you can't make a copy of this one like this. Like here, example that we have. We're growing some vegetable in the garden, right? The vegetable, now it's just a small plant. Now, we know the Odia name because my wife is from Odisha, right? Like Durka. Some people say, oh, your vegetables are growing, what are you growing? Well, this one, what is it? Well, it's similar to this other squash, ridge squash, or tordi, they call it in Hindi. It's similar to that, but it doesn't have the ridges. It's cut a little softer, and it's more like a long, soft cucumber. But without knowing the name, we can say it's similar to, give some explanation. But you can't say, as an example, you can't say that exact thing as, because the original one, you can't. Once the vegetable's there, okay, the person can see, and they'll say, oh, we call it X. But otherwise, how are we going to say like this? So same way, you can't, the original one can't, you can't then experience directly like this. It's not going to be possible. So what happens, that's why the examples are never going to totally grasp. So there are two main ways of explaining this. This is one of them. This is called Pratibimbavada. Pratibimba, the reflection. As we said, if you remember, here he's calling it the chaya, right? Here he says, chit chaya, the reflection in the chit, in the mind or in the intellect. So usually it's called pratibimba. Pratibimbavada is what this is usually called. Pratibimba means the reflection. Pratibimba. Vada. Or prati bimba vada. So this is usual. This is what this one way of explaining it is used, which is a very, very good one for the Driktrisha Viveka. Very, very useful and helpful, like this. And as we'll go on explaining it later, the Drishyam will be taken care of later, no worries, because it's Advaita. But first, you learn to separate them, and later it'll be taken care of, like this, one of the steps. When we're looking at it in this way, as we are now, the one thing just to be aware of, it is taking a dual, you know, it has to be dual in order to look at it like this, meaning this Drik and Drisha, you have not oneness like this. But no problem, that's again preliminary. The other methodology that's used in what that shows from the beginning Advaita is called Avachedavada. We'll take these guys aside for now. The other one, Avacheda. So, Avachedavada. So Avachedavada, this one from the beginning is showing you how there is no separation, there's no duality. This one says, I'm in this room, and this room is, you know, it's going to be 10 by 10 by 8 feet, let's say, so 80 square foot. It's 80 square feet of space. And then it sees the living room is 120 square feet, and it's very jealous. That one is bigger than me. It's not fair. Right? That'll say, you know, well, the closet is tiny. The closet is, you know, it's 38 square feet, so I'm happy. That one's just a tiny one, so at least I'm not miserable like that one. But it says there's some great, huge full space, this is the Ishvara, the full space, when will I become one with the full space? I really yearn to become one with that. Then what happens is the city contemns the house. Come, says Gajanan, you haven't been taking care of the house. There are too many termites and problems. We have to tear it down. So the city comes and tears down the house, and now that this room space becomes one with the full space, and it's very happy. It says, I'm happy. I'm not bound anymore. Now, the question was the room space ever bound? It was never bound. It identified with the limitation. The original conscious reflected, and I identify with the reflected conscious. Now I think I'm bound. So there it's seeing as reflection, but here it's giving a different version where it says, look, it never is bound. It just seems to be bound, like this. So this is this other methodology or model that's used, where from the beginning is saying no. You see, it's just the identification with the limitation instead of with what's there from the beginning. That's the confusion. So that's other way to look at it. So in any case, the second part of the verse, which we didn't discuss yet, Eka ahankritihi anya syat antah karana rupini. So what happens is it reflects in this chidabhasa, right? Chidabhasa pratibimba, abhasa pratibimba, chaya, all reflection. But here, we usually say chidabhasa, we say the reflection in the mind. Chidabhasa, this reflection in the mind, has two different things ways you can look at it. It's two different parts, you can say. So one of them is ahankara, ego, identification as, self-identity. That's one. Second one is saying antakarana, meaning intellect, mind. So you can say buddhi, intellect here, for simplifying. So it has both of these components to it. So what happens the moment the reflection is there, we have two things, aham idam. Aham, I, right? Idam, this. Because what happens is the moment, just I, reflection is just me, just one thing, the ego. Just I, that's it, no problem, like this. Idam means there's intellect, because idam, intellect, is separating what's me and what's something else. So actually, this is a very good exercise to do. When you just wake up from sleep, and you just take a few moments right when you wake up, especially if you're waking up, right from the deep sleep, then you just are there, I am. That's the first thing. So that's you experience that, that's ahankara is there. Then, within a few moments, very quickly, there's me and there's not me, right? There's me and then there's other, some other thing. Before I even start getting into, before all my, the other stuff in my mind, all the subsidiaries of my mind wake up. Subsidiaries of my, my position and my duties and my, this is my house. And all before that, there's me and something else. There's already the separation. Me and other stuff, that's where the buddhi, the intellect, then also has come up and starts to separate. And the buddhi means separates, like this. Separates between things. So between me and not me, like this. Because that's the first separation. There's me and something else, then all the other separations can come. So these are two things in the reflection that we have. Both of them are there in the mind, in the reflection, in the chidabhasa, in the reflection. The jiva needs both of those to exist. If it was just the aham, no problem. I am. If there's just the other one, supercomputer does a wonderful job, no problem, right? But we need both of those to bind the individual, because you need the identity as well as the identity with separation, with some limitation like this. This is what's needed. That's why this is. That's how this whole thing comes about. So, Very good. So let's continue. He's going to elaborate more on this, that these two parts are there in the mind or in the reflection. And again, the difference is very subtle, as it's saying, because it's not. That's why it's something to really understand, look into, because you have the sense of I, and you also have the sense of, you know, separation, this and that. So Ahamidam, this, I, and this. So this one, for having a jiva, having the individual, that's necessary. Both of those are necessary. Otherwise, you know, jiva won't be there, can't be. So it's part of the building blocks in order to have this, to have the individual identity be there. So he says afterwards, Chayahankara yoraikyam taptayav pindavanmatam tadahankara tadatmyat dehaschetanam agama agatam. Sorry, chetanatamagat. The union of the reflected consciousness, the chichaya, and the ahankara, the ego, is like that of an iron ball, sorry, an iron and fire in a red hot iron ball. Similarly, the physical body acquires sentiency due to being identified with the ego. So what happens then is the reflection and the reflecting medium, it's very hard to separate the two, meaning you can't physically separate. As I think we gave this example sometime earlier about the iron ball that is red hot. So you can't put the heat on one side and put the iron on the other side. You can't physically separate the two. But you can understand the difference between iron, the material, and between the temperature, right? The heat like this. So intellectually, I can understand the difference between them. So this same way, this with the reflecting medium, you can understand the difference between the consciousness reflected in it and between the medium itself. We can understand it. It's not something that I'm going to put the consciousness on the left side and put the mind on the right side. Look at it from the get-go. Okay, everything you experience has to go through your mind. So your mind is everywhere in your experiences. You're a conscious being. Everything is within your field of consciousness. Okay, now how am I going to separate the two? How are you going to, you know, you can't. You can't physically separate. Just like in the iron ball. The heat is everywhere in the ball. The iron is everywhere in the ball. How are you going to physically separate? You can't. But you can understand there is the difference between them. Like this. So the heat, now what happens is the heat is intrinsic to the iron. The heat is borrowed, right? It's not intrinsic. So just like the mirror, you have the sun reflected in the mirror. The sun light in there isn't intrinsic to it. It's just conditional. Now I'll put it here, there'll be a nice reflection. The clouds come, you won't see the sun anymore. So it's conditional. Just some condition like this. Because of that it comes. So it borrows the light from the sun. So the reflecting medium borrows the consciousness from the original consciousness like that, from the Sakshi, from Atma. And he's saying similarly, the body also says, hey, I also want to have some fun. I also want to be in the picture. Kind of like the older brother, the parents give some money to the older brother, right? He's a little older, he's to go to college. So they give him $50 to be able to take the bus and everything, to get some food and to go to have some fun with his friends. So the younger sister is jealous, she's just in grade school. That's not fair. Why did they give you and I didn't get any? So the older brother says, okay, no problem. Here, I'll give you $10. You go and have some candy and get some candy for your friends. Don't worry, you can go like this. So the body says, what about me? So the conscious doesn't directly, but from the mind it goes to the body like this. So there's a very nice illustration, that shows this, how it works, how the body gets its borrowed consciousness, because remember, it's borrowed. How do we know it's borrowed, right? When somebody dies, well, where the body's there, where'd the consciousness go? It's just not reflected in the body anymore. Like the fused light bulb. Whole light bulb, whole material is there, but it's not, the electricity won't be able to flow through in the way to make the light. That's all. So in this way, this wonderful example is, you know, we talked a long time now, so now we get thirsty. We'll say, let's have a cup of tea, right? So we turn on the stove, we put a pot on, we put the water in the pot, so it'll boil. So now you have the heat, the fire is creating heat, and the pot is getting heated from the fire, right? Now, the water is inside the pot. The fire isn't directly heating the water. The pot gets heated up, and from the pot, the water gets heated up, and the water boils. So the fire is lending heat to the pot. The pot is lending heat to the water. So the heat is going through those steps. You take it off the stove, and after a while, the pot will get cold, the water will get cold, like this. So in this way, the fire didn't heat the water directly, did it indirectly. So this is how, same way the physical body, it doesn't get its reflection of the consciousness directly from the original consciousness, from Sakshi, but Sakshi goes to the reflects in the mind. From the mind then goes and reflects in the body, like this. That's how come, let's say, if somebody's paralyzed, they can't feel the arm. From there, as far as they're concerned, this arm is like an object because they don't feel it. It's not reflected. But in the mind, it's still reflected. In your dream, still reflected in your mind, but not in your body. You know, you don't feel your body, then you don't think of your body. So goes there first, and then goes from subtle to gross, like this. And actually, creation always goes from subtle to gross. Think of the creation of this world, right? We can see the physical, it's an unmanifest form, comes in energy, plasma and everything, and then fire, then more into liquid form, then more into solid material in this way. So in Vedanta also, akashat vayu, vayur agni, agne apaha, apaf prithivi, froze from the subtle, to gross. From material perspective also, these are the subtle material, though. It'll be from the space to the gas to air, there to the heat, more gross to the liquid, more gross to the solid, to earth, like this. So in any case, it goes in this way. So same way, in the individual, the original consciousness will be reflected in the mind, subtle material, and then it'll be reflected from there into the body in this way. So actually, one point that's given very nice about this, that Swami Paramarthanandaji pointed out, which is very nice, how it goes like this, is from the original consciousness, from there you get reflected consciousness, right? From there, the next step, you're going to have the ahankara. Right? I sense. There's the sense of I there. Then you're going to get buddhi, the intellect. As we mentioned that when you wake up like that, you notice, okay, I am, and I know I am, and then afterwards, I am, and there is other stuff other than me, and then. So the ahankara has to be, the I sense, the reflection has to be first, then afterwards. You know, it's very subtle difference, but there is a difference there, as we saw. Then afterwards, it's going to go further. Then it's going to go to the mind and everything. Then mind, or you can say senses, body, all this. Then it goes further. Senses, body. So it starts from here and then goes more and more gross in that way. In this way. So this is the order that it is going. So then he said in here, in this verse. Yeah, so that's also how then because of the reflection of the consciousness in the body, so then the ego is going to identify with that too, because it's going to identify with what's reflected there, not with what's reflected elsewhere like this. And of course, the reflection is depending on the original, not vice versa. So when the mirror breaks, the reflection's not there anymore, but anything happened to the original? Didn't go anywhere. It's still there in this way. So this is what happens. The problem is the identification with the reflection, not with the original like this. That confusion. So he's going to explain a little bit more about this. Ahankarasya tadatmyam chichaya deha sakshibhihi sahajam karmajam bhranti janyascha trividham kramat. The unity or identity of the ahankara, the ego, with the reflected consciousness, the physical body, and the sakshi, the pure consciousness, is of three kinds. Inborn, the result of past karma, and due to ignorance or delusion, respectively. So what happens then is, okay, there is this identity we have. Identity as the jiva, as the individual, and not just as the consciousness. So this identity comes in a few different forms. This is what he's pointing out here. So there are three types. Sahaja, one which is natural. That's something you can't do anything about. Like, you know, it's the nature of water to reflect in certain condition to reflect. Right? If it's moving too fast, you can't see reflection well. If there's, you know, too much sediment, but just water sitting, you can see a reflection. It's just its nature. As long as it'll be there, it'll reflect. Mirror is there, it'll reflect. The moment it's not there, it doesn't reflect. So that's something which just is natural. You cannot do anything about it. You're not going to. It's not something that can be done or needs to be done. Second identity is karmic, due to karma. And due to karma, because my karma then to have this specific body, this specific mind, because of whatever previous actions, so now this one, so now this is also something that's born from that, like this. The third one, the problematic one, is due to the delusion, bhranti. So due to delusion, like for instance, let's say that now they have they said they're going to start the sports again. So now the sports they'll be playing, and my team is going to lose in the finals. So now I'm going to be very depressed. Now, what do I have to do with that? It's a bhrantija. What does that have to do with me and that? It's just an idea in my mind. Is there any connection between me and that, whatever team that is? So I'll tell you some things with this. A nice way to see how easily we get identified like this with something. Years ago when we were living in Berkeley, then we'd have classes most evening, mostly yoga classes. So I noticed that when I came up at some time after the class, then at that time there was the World Championships in soccer going on, or actually World Championship in football. This is the only country we call it soccer. So the very interesting. America is a unique place. So in any case, so the World Championship going on, we didn't ever have any cable or anything. There was some Hispanic channel where they were showing, and they had, so you could see, I could see the second half, and they were all talking in Spanish. So it's actually better. You tune out, you just watch. So what happened? So I was watching the second half of a few of the games, because I had time after the class I was watching. After years, I didn't watch any sports or anything. Then what happened is, at that time, I was working part-time someplace, taking care of databases for an epidemiologist at UC Berkeley, who had studies going on in Ecuador, Ecuador, I think it was. So, and Ecuador, it's a very small country. That time they were in the final, where they have the championships, I think 16 teams, whatever, where they get actually into the main games of the World Championship. So they were playing there. Except for that one thing that I was taking care of databases for a study, I had nothing in the world to do with Ecuador ever. But when I watched the game with Ecuador, how the identity takes over, you start leaning towards one side. Oh, they're not being fair. The foul against them wasn't fair. They're like this. Somehow, to watch a sports game and not root at all is not easy, because we're so used to taking some side like this. Very interesting. I really wonder, here's a question this would be a good study. Go and interview referees of sports matches and see when they watch a sports event where they're not refereeing, how the reaction is. Are they really just watching evenly, or do they tend to go to one side? Maybe due to their training, they are pretty good at just staying, you know, neutral, which is a very good training like this. So in any case, so that very easy to slip into one like this. Then other thing with sports, I'll tell you how the identity goes like this. I grew up in Israel, and in Israel, the Maccabi Tel Aviv, the basketball team, which was when I was a kid, I don't know if it's still like this because I don't know anything about Israeli sports now. They were always the champions in basketball of the country. And this is before they imported NBA players, like I think most countries in the world do now. So Israel would play in the European Championships for basketball. So the champion of each country would play. And Israel, a small country in this, not, you know. So this one year they won and they played against all the others and they won. The championship was a big thing, Israel, like huge thing and everything. So Maccabi Tel Aviv, everybody in Israel is a fan of them playing like this in the European Championships. Now I moved here, living here many years. Till a few years ago, Golden State Warriors, I didn't even know what it was. I had no idea. Then I saw some neighbors there watching game. They were in the finals a few years ago. So then I watched some of the games. Now, that's some skara. Now identity goes, instead of Maccabi Tel Aviv, goes Warriors. Now, I happen to live here. What if I lived in LA? I'd say these Warriors, they're horrible. This, we're going to beat them because we're... Just because I happen to be living one place and watching this, now the identity is with this. What logic is there to it? So this thing of I superimpose things on, and this is just one small thing of sport. How many things we do like this that we impose my identity on? Because I'm so used to individual identity, I want to hold on to something as my identity. I have to. It's very hard. Somebody's not working and we're retired, says, I'm a retired advocate. Like this. There was one man, one sadhu, Swami Shivananda's time. He was in Haridwar, Rishikesh. He was a high court judge. Very, very highly respected in society. So after he retired, he left everything. So he would go in the mornings on the bathing ghats, where people go to Ganga and take their morning bath. He would go on, everybody coming, he'd go prostrate to them in order to get rid of the idea, because of my position in society, I have some superiority like this. Because the identity is just so strong. Even when I'm not there anymore, my identity is with that. I hold on to it. So this is where this Bhrantija, the born of the delusion, is the problem, that identity in this way. So this is just showing how deeply ingrained it is with me, how much it is like this. So here he explains about these three a little further in our next verse. Let's just see if there's anything else.
Vijana?
Yes.
So can you enjoy something without getting that attached to it? For example, I like watching sports, like all types, like cricket, basketball, right? And is there a way to enjoy it, enjoy the teams, and then, you know, later just not get so attached to it? For example, I went from enjoying Golden State Warriors, Lakers, to not being attached to anybody, like any team, but just enjoying, like, players and stuff.
You could do that. You could do it. And slowly, slowly, it's not that we drop it all at once, but slowly, slowly, like this, slowly through understanding, you know, slowly we can drop, yes, and then we can look at ourselves and see how it happens, how the identity, how the attachment is built up. So it's slowly, slowly, not that you have to throw everything out, but through understanding slowly, slowly, these things, they will go away slowly. So yeah, you can do that.
Thank you.
Somebody, So in this way, yeah, you don't have to throw everything out at once, but slowly through vichara is kind of inquire slowly to understand. And what happens, a lot of things, as we understand, we do drop a lot of things. Like somebody, maybe after some time, they drop, they don't watch sports as much because they're not interested. It doesn't mean you have to in this way. Yeah. But the thing is, something that is binding you more, yes, that's something that if I'm really looking into this, and I'm looking seriously, and then I see something's really binding more and where I can't not step back, then by dropping it as a spiritual aspirant, as somebody wants to know, it'll be more helpful. But if it's something that is not binding, meaning you watch sports, it's nice to enjoy. Now you have to study for your finals, you have some big thing at work you can't watch, okay, don't watch, doesn't matter. So meaning, if you can just put aside it's not bothering you, meaning the identity not as strong. Like a next door neighbor in high school, he used to be a big Warriors fan in this. So I asked him how, you know, oh, what does he think? The Warriors this year, they're not doing it, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, I don't know. I'm not following. I don't have time. He's in high school. He's too busy. So that shows the attachment then, not as strong. Okay, you can drop it. If you can drop it, means it's not. But if I can't drop, meaning now that's holding on to me. Like this. So here, the next verse is saying like this. It's here. Sambandino sator nasti nivritti sahajasyatu karmakshayat prabodhaccha nivartete kramadubhe. The inborn identification between the two, the ego and reflected consciousness, has no termination indeed. The other two identifications, born as a result of past karma and due to ignorance, cease by the exhaustion of karmas and by self-knowledge respectively. So what happens is, as we said, the first one, the sahaja, the inborn one, there's nothing to do about it as long as something, you know, if it's something's nature, it's going to be like that. So mind reflect, there, as long as there is individual, there's ego, I mean, there's I sense, it just is. It's not something that you can do or should do anything about because, you know, it doesn't make any sense because that's just how it is. So why worry? Why change? What is something's nature? Because something's nature can't be changed anyway. So why worry about it like this? Second one, karma. For instance, karma. My karma to, you know, have some identity with this body as long as it's alive. And it's going to be, I'll have that identity as long as, you know, my prarabdha is here. One person prarabdha is, you know, 15 years. Today in the paper, some, I think, 32-year-old Bollywood star died. So his karma was to live in that body 32 years, right? Somebody else died. He was 91 years old. So that person's karma to be there 91 years. It's just the according to the karma, as long as the karma is there, it will be with that, like this. So that's just the karmic thing. And that one you can't get out of it any other way than to expend the karma. No other way. That's why prarabdha, the karma for this life, the only way for it to be expended is to go through the whole life. You cannot skip or something like this. That's one reason actually why it said then that suicide is not a solution for anything, because you haven't finished your karma. You didn't make this body come. You didn't do. It's not, you know, you're not the director or anything. So in this case, if the suicide gives a very, very bad detrimental effect and can have, you know, much harder with future life in this sometime. So this is what's said about it. So that's one point. But the main thing here is that the karma with the body, yes, it's karmically. So identity will be there when it's finished, gone. It'll be gone. So that's something that's also something, just a natural process, nothing for me to do about. You know, if I have a dream, I'll identify with my situation in the dream. Once the dream is gone, that situation gone, it's gone, like this. But then the last one, the one that's due to Bhranti, right? Bhrantija, born from my unclarity, right? This one only by prabodha, by waking up. How can you get rid of all your identity with yourself in the dream world? Only by waking up from the dream. There's no other way to totally get out of your limitation in the dream world. No other way. So same way here, the only way to overcome the this idea that I have of myself, the incorrect identity, is by this, by waking up, meaning not that I throw away this world, that I go to somewhere else, but that I understand, that I see that I am the Sakshi, the witnessing consciousness, not this limited one like this. So one illustration you can have about this bhranti, let's say that somebody is now is an actor going to do a part in a play, right? So they're going to go and they're going to be playing Ravana. They'll make a Ramayana play, so he's going to play Ravana. So he is going to have to do this whole character he's doing. Now, when he's doing Ravana, there has to be some identity I'm doing, otherwise how is he going to act, right? Has to be something. So there has to be some identity with it. Now, so let's say that this play goes on for 3 weeks, he does the play, then finished, gone. So the karma with getting that part started, ended, now it's finished. No identity with it anymore. It's past like this. So in this way, karmically had some time to deal with it. Then this person gets some other small part in the play, and that one plays for a long time. So it gets to be with that one for a long time. Now what happens, let's say this person's playing Ravana in the play. After the play is over, they keep acting the same role. They forget that they're not the Ravana. They keep acting the same way. Maybe they're very nasty to everybody, right? Very egoistic and all this. So the identity stays. That's the, you know, thinking that you're that one, that is the bhranti, keeping the identity with it, that I'm that one. So for some time that person plays, but really they know. And the interesting thing, when somebody's the actor there, they are doing that part, but they know that they're not just limited to that. They're not limited. This is what they say, the jnani is like that. They have what's called a functional ego, meaning sahaja and the karmaja are there, but not the bhrantija. So they know. So there is some identity with, but it's not a limiting identity. You know, it's not something limiting, it's just something that, you know, that like playing the part in the play, where yes, you're doing it, but you know you're not just limited by that. It's not, you're not identifying with as that's everything you are. It's just, you know, some small role like this. But the binding one that I identify with it, that's what happens. My identity then, that's the problem. So this is how he's pointing out these different ways, the different ways of this reflection, and that there is some identity, but which identity is problematic and which one isn't. And the non-problematic, we don't need to deal with it. We don't need to worry like this. Okay, if I live a long time or short, yeah, whatever is needed, I'll take care. But that's karmic. That's what's going to be. Identify with, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, maybe I won't live as long, blah, blah, blah. That's because I identify as this role, which is just the, you know, reflection, not the original like this. So this is what he's pointing out here. Mm-hmm. Any other important points on this one? The interesting thing here is both what's binding me and what's going to free me is in the level of buddhi, intellect. Because understanding, right, misunderstood, then it becomes bandha, becomes the bondage, becomes samsara. Clearly understood, then it's moksha. But it's still, the external thing didn't change, it's just difference in my understanding like this. Otherwise, when somebody is a jnani, what if, you know, then does the body just disappear? They're still, you know, they're still here. It didn't, but they just know that they're they know they're for clear what they are, that it's not this limited identity. It's just some, you know, something, some sort of reflection, some sort of appearance like this. So really this way, the bondage and liberation, it's in the mind. That's what it is in the end. So, of course, for somebody who really understands, they even know the mityatvam, the, you know, the even appearance, the non-reality of moksha and bondage. Because they see for a fact that there was never any bondage, just an idea. But as long as we still feel we're in the bondage, yes, then it's something for me to deal with then, like this. Because, you know, psychological issues somebody has, it's just a projection. And projection, though, still, even though it's projection of the mind, what problems it causes somebody? So much. So in this way, we have to, there's a joke they say about that. There, Uttarakashi, one fellow there, he loves to tell Sharadara jokes about the Sikhs like this, because very good-hearted. Again, it's a caricature, but he is very good-hearted, very nice, but not necessarily the brightest, because that's just the caricature they give. True or not, I don't know, but this is, so they say the Sharadarji, this Sikh man, was watching TV, right? And then he put this, his friend comes and there's the nature channel. And he takes his umbrella and he kind of holds and kind of guards like this from when the tiger is coming. And so his friend, oh, Sharadaji, why are you doing? You know, it's just on TV. It's just the tiger is there. He says, I know that it's just the tiger on TV. I don't have a problem. But the tiger there might not know, so to be safe. So in this way, I'll say, I know that that bondage is just an idea. I'm really liberated. I know, but I intellectually know. But then somebody comes and scolds me, or then, you know, something happens that how I don't like, and suddenly I'm so affected. Meaning, it hasn't really settled. It's just, I have some intellectual idea about it, but it hasn't been looked into enough. Clear looked into enough, then no problem. Like this. So this is... this is the difference then between somebody who's done the vichara completely clearly understood and that we just have some general understanding about it like this. So in this way. So then we say then this, the third one, the Bhrantijaya, is this is the problem. This, it's not world that's a problem. It's not my current situation that's the problem. All these things are not the problem. They're offshoots of this. Because really, it's just my idea of it. Arjuna, problem beginning, no problem at the end of Gita. So just how we looked at it changed. Dhritarashtra, beginning of Gita is proud, you know, blind, end of Gita blind, no change like this. So it's just change of the vision. Once it's clarified, then no problem. So it's not the external world we change, but my understanding, according to Vedanta. Let's finish here for today. Om. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So a few minutes, if anybody has questions, we can discuss a little bit. And let me know. Mm-hmm. If no questions, the Bhrantijaya is finished. Yes.
Two quick questions. One is the reflecting medium, is that like the brain? And the second question is, or what is the reflecting medium? And then the second question is, you mentioned there was a book that had a commentary and you were going to maybe email it out. Mm. If you could, I would appreciate it. It sure. might help to read along.
Okay, sure, sure. So it's not the brain. The reason it's not the brain is, as we said, the conscious doesn't reflect directly in the physical body, in the subtle body, and then physical. Because, right, otherwise, if the subtle body wasn't like that, you die. If the body dies, where's it going to reflect? You couldn't still be there anywhere. So it's in the subtle body, so in the intellect, in the mind. We say intellect because both intellect is mind, you know, the antakarana, the inner instrument, and it's the subtlest part. And subtlest part is where it's going to be most refined, so it'll be reflected more clearly, because it'd be as though closest to Atma. So just like the mirror has to be some very refined material for the light to reflect clearly in it, right? For you to see your reflection in it in this way. So that way it has to be something very refined. Okay, so this is the point here. But thanks for reminding me, I will email out. But this is that book, Dhritarashtra Swami Viditatmananda. So Swami Viditatmananda-ji, his disciple Swami Dayananda, until last year, for maybe 15 years or something like that, he's been coming here every year. And he gives a few day talks in the evenings on Gita every year, different chapters, so like four evenings, five evenings, and then he gives weekend retreats. So for a few years he did Dhritarashtra Viveka, so they made a book out of it. Very wonderful commentary. Again, I don't know where you'll get a hand on this. As I said, my teacher Vijayji, he started a course on Dhritarashtra Viveka recently, and due to, instead of having 50 people when he does it locally, now that it's online, so the word got out, so like 150 people started, so that these books aren't so much in print, I couldn't even ask him because he has so many students doing. But I'll give you the name, and I'll see even where it's printed, I'll send it to everybody, yeah? And again, wonderful commentary, like, this is very, very beautiful. So again, remember like this, because it's not necessarily brain, because again, what science is saying is mind comes as a phenomena from brain. But not the model here talking about says, no, it's not that. The brain comes after, you know, the mind has to be first from subtle to gross, not gross to subtle. That's what it's saying. So in this way, otherwise, like you die, what's left? How can you be anything left? There'd be nothing left. There's something still left. So what's left is the subtle body and causal body in this, just the physical went. And then otherwise reincarnation wouldn't be. So from the physical model of the world, yes, reincarnation would make no sense. But then here it gives more of a clue at yes, physical body goes, but then subtle is still there with the impressions from karma, from previous karmas and everything, so that it has something to impel it forwards.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions before we finish today? Okay, very good. So keep well, and we will see you then next time. One more.